So, a beautiful message today about marriage. Joseph says it's a message that Jesus gave me about marriage, Christian marriage, marriage between two Christian spouses. It's a message the Lord gave me a couple of days ago, but very, very important and very nice. Angela is saying it's a message which the brethren inspired us to do it. I hope this message will be a blessing to you, dear brethren. God bless you. Lord, help us. Thank you, Jesus. Joseph is starting the message. Okay, today we will talk about marriage, the law of Christ. Lately, like Angela was saying, we heard about different marriage situations, even between our own brethren close to us, situations which are not according to the scriptures. We all have to learn, of course. But let's get going. Let's get going and learn, because the life is short and we cannot wait a day, another day, the words of God and the blessings of God. We cannot lose it. I think the message is good for all of us, because a stitch on time saves nine. It's better to have a little protection on top of the hill than a cemetery down in the valley. There are marriages which let spirits of divisions and pride in their marriage. Some of them lets the rules of the world without God as a model, to be as a model for their marriage, Christian marriage. Even after they became Christians, they still look at the world, at the marriage in the world as an example, and that's a disaster. You cannot follow the world's rules on marriage. This is for sure a bad sample, and it's going to go to bankruptcy. The marriage will be bankrupt. The marriage is in the world. Just look around you. They are all straight collision with the Word of God and with His judgments. Let's study together some foundations about the Word, which this Word foundations can prevent failures in the marriage and ensure the success of the marriage in Christ. The next rules are scriptural, but they are also a sacrifice. In no way you can apply these rules to the atheistic marriages. These rules and scriptures which I'm going to give are not for atheistic marriages. Okay? Nobody will be able to receive this. But you know, even the half-hearted Christians are not going to be able to receive these rules from the Bible. You need to become wholehearted on the Bible rules so these rules can work in your life and bring success. These things I'm going to share with you are only for the brethren who are on fire for God and those who want to be submitted to the laws of Christ, those who want to live for the glory of God and for the good of their family and their children and for their marriage, those who want to be a testimony for Christ. So this will be good only for those who are willing to follow God. I repeat, these scriptures will not be good for anything. If somebody looks at a marriage as just something convenient and not as a mission field, if they look at marriage as only their own advantage, as on their own commodities, their own rights, that the spouse needs to serve them and makes them happy, if they think like that, these scriptures will not work for them. These things are understandable, but the Lord always tells us first is the Lord, and then the spouse and the children, and then the brethren of your church, of your whatever brotherhood you belong to, and then you. You need to appartain somewhere. You need to belong to somebody in Christ. You need to be your part of a fellowship. Angela saying, okay, so you say the interest should be first the Lord, then your children, your spouse, and then the brethren of your church. What about you? What are your rights? Angela is asking. Brother Joseph is saying, well, he who thinks like that, what about my rights? Didn't really understand the gospel message, okay? Because when you do the interest of the spouse, you do your own interest because you are one with your spouse, okay? So if you think about your own interest, you didn't understand the gospel clearly, you know. You become one with your wife, and your wife, for example, is pregnant, and you need to start blessing your baby from the mother's womb. You cannot complain about your children when they grow up and they are drug addict and so on, or that they go to discotheque all the time. So you need to start from the beginning with the right foundations. So don't think about your own interest, but think about God, and He will bless you. I'm going to give you some scriptures which you probably understood it and read it 100 times, but now you need to apply it right for the marriage. You cannot say, maybe you read the scripture, but the date, it will have a new meaning for you if you read it in the Spirit. So the scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Matthew 6:33, John 6:27. So, do not get married if you do not want to seek first God and His righteousness. And all the other things, your joys, the marriage joys, and the children that respect you and so on, will be added unto you. If you don't put God first, who knows? Maybe your wife will betray you. Your children will live in the discotheque instead of breathing the air of Jesus. They will breathe cannabis. We always said in our brotherhood, we always said that in Christ, woman is equal to man. We are not like those churches that you put a scarf on the head of the woman and then you are quiet. In Christ, she's equal. But outside of Christ, no. Even regarding marriage, the doctrine of God is not a male doctrine, masculist doctrine. Let's read Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. So this gender story is just a lie of the devil to put gossip between people and divisions. You know, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Okay? So, there is no male nor male nor female, where? In Christ Jesus. There is not the male authority or the inferiority of the female in Christ, but in Christ Jesus, okay? That's important. But I would like to tell the sisters to have a right balance in their marriage. Just like God is not on the side of the man, neither is He always on the side of the women. There needs to be a balance in it. We have two extremes. The churches that make the woman be quiet and put her under the veil. But then there is the other extreme where some women say, we are free, we are equal, so they command, so they take over the man. So it's amazing how there's two extremes in the church and in the heads of some other sisters who say, well, we are one in Christ, so then she takes over and she commands, and it shouldn't be like that either. We need a balance. There is an article in La Repubblica. The 8th of March will be the Women's Day in Italy. And there is this news that says that the women are going to do strike. We will not go to work, we will not do shopping, and we will not clean our house. The 8th of March in Bologna, there will be a strike of the women. And they say it's because there is violence against women. the men are being violent against the women, so the women now they are striking, and there is a party actually that they made up, the party of the women, political party. So they are against the male violence. Yes, it's wrong. But what about the women? They haven't been violent. Well, let's just look also on the other coin. Let's look on the other coin. You know who's organizing this striking? With the excuse against the violence. Of course we agree with this, there shouldn't be any violence against women. But what's the real goal behind this? Let's read the continuation of the article. You know what they really want? You will see right away what they really want. So they're saying we're going to do this strike so there will not be violence against the women anymore. But they're asking for one thing. We would like the right to have abortions guaranteed without any restrictions, even when they are 6 months old or whatever. They want to be able to abort the women whenever they want. As it is right now, it's only 3 months. Up to 3 months you can abort. After that, you cannot abort. But basically, under the veil of this no violence against women, they're asking what they really want, abortions. So it's not correct what they're doing. Therefore, with the excuse to have protection against violence, is the devil who actually is doing this. The spirit of the Antichrist is doing this because he wants pro-abortion and pro-sexual perversions. Pro-abortion and pro-sexual perversions, this homophobia and so on. Okay, fine, we need to protect the homosexual, but what about the Christians who are being... What about the Christians who are being persecuted? We don't take care of them? You know, the violence which the male does against the woman, what about the violence which the woman does against her husband by killing their child? Right? I mean, she is going to kill the baby against maybe the husband's will, but she is free and she's going to go abort. Angela is saying that a brother wrote to us that his wife, against his will, went and did an abortion while he was sleeping. She went quickly to the hospital in the early morning and did the abortion against his will. He was a Christian, and he told her he's against that. So look at this woman. I mean, she did violence against her own son. I mean, she was pregnant, and against her husband, and she killed. She killed the baby, and she killed her marriage as well, because now this brother writes to us that since that moment I feel nothing for her anymore. It's like something died in me. And this brother wrote to us, and we are trying to help him go through this hardship and tragedy in his life. Amazing. This woman basically raped in the spirit her husband. He begged her, don't abort. And she said, no, it doesn't matter. It's just in the beginning. It's a few weeks old. It's not really a baby yet fully formed. I can abort it. She is from the Nordic countries, and she's all into rights. It's my right. I'm sorry for the baby. The baby went to heaven, for sure. But she better repent. And now this brother wrote to us that after she aborted, she's in depression. She sees demons every night and doesn't have any peace and cries all the time. So basically the devil now is... The devil now is tormenting her. So God didn't bless her at all. There is no violence, greater violence than a wife who aborts against the will of her husband. I mean, there is no greater violence than that. Yes, she can repent, and she better repent, otherwise it's going to be in trouble for eternity if she doesn't repent in this life. You know, if you actually think about it, It's better a few slaps that a husband gives to the wife than the wife that kills the baby. You know, just like the male superiority is wrong, also the female superiority is wrong. And it's exactly equal, okay? It's a bigot thing. They are just, it's just Pharisaism and hypocrisy. Oh, don't give us slaps, but we can go and kill your children. Oh, thank God for the women who are converted to Christ and they do not abort and they are in the Spirit. Thank God for the sisters who are in the Spirit. The article continues. In 40 countries there will be this manifestation. It's like a sign of the time. Amazing. They're saying we will not wash laundry, we will not wash dishes, we will not take care of our children. We are going to go on strike. Let's read what God says. God is not for a male, neither for the female. God is for Christ. Christ is the center. Ephesians 5:20-28, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I'm sorry for the women who are into this feminism thing. But it says that in Christ, you need to submit to your husband. In Christ, you are equal in humility, in love, in evangelization, in love, in evangelization. Yes, you're equal to your husband. But when you're not living in the love of Christ, you have to be submitted. Point. And that's it. It's in the gospel. There needs to be a head and someone following. Let's continue the scripture. Therefore, 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The Christian husband, attention, I say Christian, not pagan, but a Christian one, is going to follow these rules, okay? Okay, the pagan man doesn't have any right to be the head over anybody, okay? The pagan man has no right to be over his wife because he'll take advantage and he will not be loving. The Bible only gives you the right to be the head over the wife because you are supposed to be loving and Christian. If there is a sister that has a pagan husband, he doesn't have right to be her head and over her because he doesn't know the love of Christ. But the Christian husband, he was set from God as the head of the wife. Not because he's a man, but because Eve was deceived by the devil and then she herself deceived the man. Okay, the women are not inferior to man. It's just because she followed the devil. That's why she's inferior. Not because God made her like that. God didn't make her inferior. She just got deceived and then she deceived the man. 1 Timothy 2:12-15, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Oh, a woman who aborts and does not repent, she cannot be saved. Because one of the duties of a wife is to have children. Unless you are sterile. But after a while, after you have 6 kids, okay, you better stay a little bit careful, okay? Me and my wife, we are using natural means. not have children, natural, of course, because I'm 7 years old, I have 6 kids already, and a few days ago my wife told me that she's late with her period, and I said, well, praise God, but the following day the period came, so praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's continue. So in Christ, the woman is never inferior to the man. It's just the wife submitted to the husband, okay? Even though some Bible says woman, man, but it means husband and wife, okay? The wife needs to be submitted to her husband and then to the pastor. Some Bibles in the translations, in fact, this translation, 1 Timothy 2, it says woman to the man to be submitted. It's wrong. If you go in Greek, the right translation is dune to be submitted to aner. Dune in Greek means woman, and in Hebrew, dune means woman and wife, okay? Dune means woman and wife. Aner means husband and man. But if you look at the whole context, it's talking about Adam and Eve, about a married couple. So knowing by the context, it doesn't say that a woman needs to be always submitted to a man. No, the wife to the husband is to be submitted. Okay, it's not that in a church all the women need to be submitted to all the men. If a sister, woman, inspired by the Spirit of God, she cannot be submitted to a man who's without faith, without spirit, just because he's the man in church, so she needs to submit to him because that's what the Bible says. No. No, it's important for this to understand. So the wife needs to be submitted to the husband, okay? Not the woman. The woman in Christ can be over the man who doesn't have the gifts of the Spirit, but only in Christ, okay? So in Christ, the woman becomes equal to the man. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, it says the wife needs to be submitted to the husband, yes. But Galatians 3:28, it says in Christ there is no male nor female. Is this a contradiction? No. 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 In Christ we are equal, and we are outside of Christ, you're not equal anymore, and then you need to submit. I know stories of sisters who scream and yell to the husband, and they are both Christians. There is no place in our church for sisters who scream and yell and rebuke the husband. If you rebuke him like that, you're not submitted anymore to him. You become the Jezebel, you become the head. You cannot rebuke the husband. This is not Christ. If the husband is something wrong, you go to him in submission, in love, and you show him a scripture, look, honey, you're wrong, but you did it in humility and in love. And if the husband doesn't receive, then you go to your church and you ask for help. Look, I went in submission to my husband, but he didn't receive my scripture. Because otherwise you become an oppressive wife. As you know, I'm not just into this male superiority. Okay? You know I'm not into that. I always encourage the sisters to be strong in Christ and to be leaders. But I want to tell you, dear sisters, don't take advantage. Sisters, if you have a husband and he's a Christian, you need to submit to him, even if he's wrong. We all are wrong. You need to submit. If he's Christian, you submit, and that's it. And if he's wrong, you go in love and try to correct him. And in submission, you try to correct him, okay? I'm just saying, let's clarify this. So in Christ, we're equal. But in a marriage, if they're both Christians and they're equal in Christ, Angela says, I think, yes, in front of God, the woman is not less or more important in front of God. But I think in a marriage, everybody has their role. I can see in your marriage, Joseph, that you have your own role in the marriage. She cannot handle certain things, and only you can do them. And you, Giuseppe, dear Joseph, do not make it to do things which only she can do. Even if you're equal in Christ, everybody has their own role in a marriage. You are the father and she is the mother. You have to accept the talents of each other. You're not equal. It's not that Deborah can come here and preach and you go in the kitchen and cook. Everybody has their talents in a marriage and their role, and you have to respect each other's talents and role. You cannot change the role. Well, we are equal, so now you go and cook and I go and cut the wood. Yes, in the spirit you are equal, but in the flesh you cannot compare. You cannot be equal in the flesh. Oftentimes, there is the role of the wife and the role of the husband. You know, it's humiliating your husband if you tell him that it is your turn to cook, because we are equal. You know, this feminism and equality, it's actually just selfishness if you think about it. The devil enters in. Here we take turns. We are equal. You go cook now. And I will go do I don't know what. Well, it's not that you can go. It's not that you can go and repair the car. Okay, just you stay there in the kitchen. It's not that by turns. It's by turns. Everybody has their own role. There was a factory that said that the women in the factory, they were saying, we want to be equal with the men because they gain more than us. So then the owner of the factory said, okay, fine. Then why don't you do the man's job? And he gave them some very difficult jobs. You wanted to be equal and you wanted a higher pay, then do like the men do. And they didn't make it. They didn't make it. Can I put a PS to your message? What about if there is an argument in a marriage? Okay, everybody has their own role. But what if there is a marriage? Then what do we do? What about if there is an argument? What do you do if there is an argument? Well, if there is an argument, you better submit. The wife better submit to the husband if there is an argument. The equality is only in Christ. Let's make a race who loves more, who's more humble. In that we are equal, in love, in humility. But when we start, no, you wash the dishes today. No, you wash them. I want to abort. I am equal. I do what I want. I'm free. And then God says no. He put an order. So in case of arguments, the husband is the head. You don't want this, then don't get married with a Christian husband, okay? If you want equality, go to the city hall and marry with a dog. There are marriages with dogs these days. So, if a woman takes advantage of the grace of God and she makes of her husband a puppet, then look what the word says. 1 Timothy 2:12, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the husband, but to be in silence. Okay? So if she takes advantage of the grace of God and that they are equal in Christ, and she makes of her husband a puppet, then look at this word. 1 Timothy 2:12, I suffer not a woman, which is a wife, to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, in other words, the husband's, but to be in silence. In any case, the Word of God doesn't leave space to selfish husbands, okay? Selfish husbands or Christian husband, but they are disobedient. They cannot take advantage of their position as a guide to be unloving and to not respect his wife, okay? A Christian husband doesn't mean that he's a tough guy now, just like the Islamics are, the Muslims are. 1 Corinthians 7:12-15. But to the rest I speak, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us unto peace. So if the... unbelieving. If the unbelieving depart, you are free, you can remarry. Here there is a confusion in the churches. Oh, no, no, you cannot remarry. Yes, you can. Unbelieving people, and they want to depart, you are free. This means that if a husband chooses to get out of God's will and doesn't want to follow the word and puts stumbling blocks to her to not follow the Lord, in that moment the sister is free, okay? Because he is unbelieving. He is unbelieving, and he puts obstacles to the wife's path, so she doesn't follow Christ. In that moment, the wife is free. God doesn't give the right to the woman to make a puppet out of her husband, and he doesn't give to the husband the right to take advantage of the wife, like if she would be a servant. Oh, God's word gives me authority, so I take advantage and I make you a servant. So it's for both, it's a balance for both, okay? We see in the Bible, if the church around you testifies that the husband is Christian and he has the right fruits of Christianity, then in that moment the wife needs to submit, okay? She needs to submit because everybody around testifies that the husband is in the Spirit and following Christ. But if the wife, even though she's a believer, she doesn't respect him as a man of God, and she doesn't want to follow what Christ says, then she's not following the word of God, and she's outside of God's will. And therefore, she is out of the church as well. We don't want the tares in the church, okay? There is no space for half a heart. If your husband is in the Spirit and the brethren around testify the same, then you need to submit to him in the Lord, okay? We don't want the brethren, wife and husband, that argue with each other. And she takes advantage and doesn't respect him, okay? It's just like the wife of Lot. She didn't follow her husband to get out of Sodom. If you are like that, stay in Sodom. Let your husband leave, get out of Sodom. Look what the word says. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Hebrews 6:12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It says here, you need to follow those who follow Christ, okay? When we follow a head of the family or a pastor of the church who truly is following the word of God, then you're following God, okay? Number one. Okay? We already put the balance, okay? The wife needs to be submitted. She cannot make a puppet out of her husband. And the husband cannot take advantage of his authority. He needs to guide in love. Yes, sometimes there will be corrections and rebukes, but always in the word. Always in the word. If the wife is out of it, he needs with the word to correct her, his wife. Write all these scriptures down. Use the scripture in love to correct your wife. You need the word and love to correct in with the word in love. Look what the Paul says. Excuse me, Peter. Peter, look what Peter says as far as the family goes. Let's read 1 Peter 3:1-7. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:1-7. The point here is not to say Lord to your husband, okay? But the point is to walk into the obedience to the commandments of God. But in your heart, you have respect to him. Angela says, oh, he's my husband, I can treat him however I want. No, you need to respect him. It's not that you can just say whatever goes through your head. You have to pray before you talk. And in your heart, have that submission. He's Lord in Christ. There are duties for both, for husbands and wives. According to 1 Timothy 2, the husband needs to love and guide the family, and the wife needs to love and follow the husband. The wife to love and follow, and the husband to love and guide the family. Those are the roles in a marriage. We are not equal, okay? We are not equal in the Bible. Oh, I drove today, you drive tomorrow. If you have a Christian husband, hold him tight. Hold him tight, okay? It's in the world, this equality and turns. This is the recipe of God to avoid divorces. Husband, love and guide your family. Wife, love and follow your husband. But my husband doesn't deserve it. But if he doesn't deserve, you leave him. Decide. Either you submit, either you leave him. But if you leave him, there better be a good reason in front of God. If you leave him just because you don't want to submit, then you're going to be under the rod of God. Matthew, it says, adultery. For adultery, you can leave him. Unless he leaves you, and then you are free. If he leaves you, what can you do? You cannot force him. Now, having said this, that the man is the head over the wife, that doesn't mean that we are against women. Not at all, no. In fact, you know, brethren, that I always say the sisters, they need to be in the Spirit, and they can guide in the Spirit. It's not a problem. But I want to say this, that when there are fights between husbands and wife, automatically the Bible tells us to go under the law of the Bible, not ceremonialism and rules, but corrections from the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:9. It says that the law is made for the sinner. It doesn't say that it's finished, the law. It's finished in Christ. But if you're not in Christ and you walk in selfishness and you're not in Christ anymore, then the law is still valid because you're a sinner, and then the law is still valid for you. It's finished only in Christ, the law. Okay? The word shows who's right and who's wrong, the wife or the husband. The husband is always the guide, but he needs to follow the word, okay? Yes, he'll make mistakes, but even the guide has rights to make mistakes, okay? Paul said in Romans 7, I make mistakes. But we are talking about a husband who doesn't do it on purpose, okay? He doesn't do it on purpose. He doesn't make mistakes on purpose, okay? He doesn't make mistakes on purpose, and then he's okay with God. He's supposed to be the guide. The so-called democracy and equality, it's really demonic and from the world, a worldly concept. This about my rights, is just selfishness and pride, and it will destroy any marriage. The world comes and says, equality, my rights, first me. What about all this selfie? Now they have so much success, this selfie. It's all about me. Me, selfie. It's all about me. Everything that in the world has success, it has everything that in the world has success, it's about selfishness. Selfie means self, you. And it, everything is yours, mine, and you are successful in the world. Ego is the word of the world. The God of the world is the ego, self. But Christ comes and says, first God, then the others. The others, and then you last. First the others. And because of the selfishness in the world today, the marriages are being broken. So, you know, this equality in the word equality is just a big lie, okay? I want to show you how in the world doesn't exist equality. Equality is just in the words. You know, in the military, there is no equality. In the police, there is no equality. In the city hall, there is no equality. In a big factory, there is no equality, okay? Nothing works without order, without a hierarchy, without a supervisor, without a responsible, without a director, okay? There is always somebody superior, a director, a responsible. Doesn't exist equality in the world. There is nothing equal in the world. I want to tell you that in the world, there is nothing the same. Not even two drops of water are the same. Nothing is equal. Even if there would be two colonels together, one would be the leader over the other one. Okay? Always one will guide. Even in the kingdom of God, there is always a hierarchy. There is the hierarchy of the devil, but then there is the hierarchy of the word, of the Lord, a good one. There are men, then angels, then archangels, then cherubims, then the Holy Spirit, then there is Christ, and then above all, everybody, above everybody, God, the Father of love. There is a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. I have 6 children. I have a very simple rule in my family. I tell the smaller one to listen to the bigger brothers, and that's it. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11:3. About no equality, doesn't exist equality. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the man is the man. Excuse me. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:3. I will read it again. I'm sorry for a mistake, brethren. The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. If the husband is not worthy to be the guide in the spirit, then the Bible says you can divorce for the cause of fornication, Matthew 5. But if he's a true Christian, he is called to guide the family, and the family needs to follow him. Because by following him, the husband, Christian husband, then they are truly following God. You know, a family cannot follow God if they don't follow the husband, who is a Christian. If he's not a Christian, what are you doing? They're married with a pagan. Leave him away. Leave him. God made an order in the marriage, and when this order is not followed, chaos comes. Just like we see in the satanic world of today. Even within our brethren, there is a chaos. We see by the fruits. She says, I want to be equal to you. We take turns. He, out of love, doesn't want to lose her and doesn't guide her and doesn't correct her. And then it's a mess. It's not that there can be a vote who should lead. The Bible says clearly the husband is to lead if he's a Christian. And you need to guide, okay? Your husband, take your authority from God and guide, okay? Don't be namby-pamby without guiding your family. Guide her. Guide her. God put an order in the marriage, okay? Otherwise, we end up like the world with rebellious children, with the violent husbands, with the wives disobedient and watching TV all day long. Let's rebuke the spirits of the world that creep inside our Christian marriage, and let's get married in Christ. let's get married in Christ, following Christ. And it's true, Angela says. Angela says that these spirits from the world going to the Christian marriage, these worldly spirits go inside the Christian marriage and destroy the marriage because they say, we are free, we are right, we have our right, we need to follow our rights. And because everybody seeks for their rights, and then there is no more love anymore. The devil is a serpent, and he's trying to take away every authority from the world today. The psychologists, the atheist ones, they are guided by the Antichrist spirit of the world, and that's why they are always there. They're always there encouraging that everybody is equal and there is no more head of the family, and the husband often days is just a slave to support the wife and support the kids, and that's it. Today in the world, the devil entered inside the families. You know, including the mass media today, always talks about the rights, your rights, your rights, rights, your rights. And because everybody talks about rights only, nobody talks about responsibilities anymore and your duties anymore, then the world is without guidance anymore. The media and the Antichrist spirit took away the authority of the husband, and they have marriages, but they don't go anywhere. They go where? Where are they going? They arrive at 60 years old with divorces, with the kids in drugs, and where is the family? They went around like chickens with a head cut off, because they cut off the head, the husband. The husband is not the head anymore. So they run around without head, without any goal. They go to school, they learn evolution, and so on. There are no more rules, no more values, no more nothing. Because they took away the authority from the husband of the family today, there are no more values. And that the children are disobedient, they go in discotheques, they have no more values, nobody listens to anybody anymore, the father has no more authority to lead their family and the children to listen to them. So today, there is no more family, basically. Everybody's in discotheques, they have perverted sex, they use drugs, and so on. It's amazing. The world today is going nowhere. There is no more values, there is no more rules, there is no more the guidance of the husband. And everybody does what they want. Talking about discotheques, I have an article from a newspaper here, from Messaggero. Messaggero.it. These are the discotheques of the day in Spain. In Spain, there's a discotheque that offers 100 euros to girls without sleep, without underwear. They go in a discotheque without underwear, they give you 100 euros in Spain. Amazing. Amazing what the world became today. This article says that in February there was the feast of the women without husbands. And this discotheque was promising 100 euros, free entrance and free drinks to women who will participate without underwear. Amazing. This world became a big garbage can without Christ, without God. Lord, help us. I think it's time to choose, brethren. All of us, we have to choose. We want a Christian marriage or a worldly marriage? Do we want to be based on Christ or based on the world? You want to be based on the freedoms of the world? False freedoms? or Christ? Do we want a marriage based on the rules of the gospel, or a marriage on rules decided by the politicians, perverted politicians, pro-homosexual world, the rules which allow women to marry with their own dog? Did you know about that? They were married legally with the dog. They were married legally with the dog. Did you know this news? It's amazing. So choose whom do you want to follow, the world or Christ? How does your marriage, how do you want your marriage to be? Do we want a marriage based on selfishness? Do you want a marriage based on the worldly rules? Rules that people marry with their own dogs. So in London, a woman married herself. So you want a marriage like that, based on those kind of rules? Married in this kind of world? Is that how you want your marriage to be, based on such a world, rules? Even if you're not anymore under the law of Moses, you are with a law. You are with the law of Christ right now. You're under the law of Christ. You don't know what the law of Christ is? Galatians 6:2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's not true that you're not anymore under the law. Yes, you're not under the law of Moses, but you're under the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. You fulfill the law of Christ. That is the law of Christ. Bury one another's burdens. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you that God gives you the choice. God gives you the choice, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. You can choose to live a true marriage in the joy of Christ and of the Bible, or live under constant frustration and constant fights and adulteries and so on. There are people who live together just for convenience, instead of a dog or a husband. Instead of a dog or a cat, they live with a guy. Well, better than a dog. So they live together just for selfish reasons. Which of us wants to waste their life? You want to waste your life? If you don't want to waste your life, do like I did with my wife. I want to say by the grace of God that there is possibility and there is a way to marry in Christ and to serve Christ and to glorify Christ. I can testify that there can be a marriage in Christ and there can be fruits of a true marriage of Christ. I can testify to that. I want to tell you that I found the key for a true marriage of God. And that key is the Word of God. You know what a marriage is? A marriage, you make it. You can make your marriage a sample of the kingdom of God, His love, His peace, His joy, His forgiveness. Or you can make it an example of the kingdom of the devil, with all his adulteries and selfishness and deceits. And at the end, death of your marriage, which is called divorce. When a spouse is selfish, that represents the devil. A spouse full of love and forgiveness represents God and the kingdom of God. God says the following. God made some rules in the Bible. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5. And husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. A sister says, okay, in a marriage of Christians, she obeys the husband. Is it still possible to be in disagreement in such a marriage? Or there will never be disagreements, even if the wife is submitted and it is a Christian marriage. Is it possible to still have arguments, or there shouldn't be any? Well, even the disciples had contention sometimes. Peter and Paul had some contentions. In Galatians we see, yeah, there will be contentions here and there. Joseph is saying, me and my wife, Deborah, we are very, very different. She's very calm. I'm very on fire, yelling and screaming. She's very phlegmatic and very down to earth. But we learned to love each other in the Lord and look at each other at the good points in the Lord. So the question, it's possible, even if you are both Christians and you do have a Christian marriage, yes, there can be disagreements, but it's very easy to overcome them because there is the prayer, there is the love. And yes, there will be disagreements, but in love, in Christ, you will be able to overcome the disagreements. Angela is saying that I think familiarity in a marriage, that is the key to many many failures in a marriage. Familiarity. There is no more respect in a marriage, but there is familiarity, and then you have expectations, and then you scream and yell because your spouse doesn't fulfill your expectations, and then there are arguments. But you have to be submitted and respectful and not have familiarity. Amen. That's why watch out for familiarity in a marriage. Well, amen. Amen, amen. I thank the Lord for my wife, says Joseph, and I want to tell you that marriage needs to be cultivated. A marriage needs to be cultivated. A marriage needs to be watered with love. A marriage needs to be fed with love and with God's word. Our marriage is better every day because we pray for each other. We even fast and pray if it's needed, so we can forgive each other. We can pray for each other. We forgive each other. In the Lord, we go to the Lord and we overcome every obstacle. The Lord always helps us overcome our obstacles. But you need to take care of your marriage. You cannot just let it be there and not put time into it and affection and prayer and whatnot. You know, I would marry Deborah 100 times more. Our secret is very simple. We decided to dedicate ourselves to Christ, and that's it. We dedicate ourselves to Christ, and that's it. We made it. That is the key. It's very clear. We dedicated ourselves to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2, it says that we are married to Christ. So that's the first key, to be married to Christ. And then Christ helps your marriage, your earthly marriage as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I finished my message and the Bible study I made on marriage today. But I would like, as a conclusion, to give a little message with Jesus gave me, a little prophecy that Jesus gave me. I would like to read it for you. But before I go to the prophecy, says Angela, I want to ask you a question from Carlo. A Christian marriage without sons, is that a sin? Joseph answers, well, if you don't want on purpose not to have children, then yes, it's a sin. But if you cannot have children, it's something else. If there is a reason that you don't want children, then God understands. But if you don't want it on purpose, because of selfish reasons, then it's wrong. It is a sin. Okay, I want to finish with a word from Jesus, which I received. I'm always with you. Jesus speaking, I am always with you. Not for one moment you are alone. You just have to think of me and instantly my presence is with you. I am closer to you than you can think. I am in your heart, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't live in the tabernacle, only in the temple in Jerusalem, but I live in Israel, spiritual Israel. You, Israel of the Spirit, I live in you. I am with you. Beloved spouses, after you chose and decided to give your hearts to me and to each other, now start to treat each other with love, like I love you. You will see a wonderful world start for you. A wonderful new world will open up for you if you love each other like I love you. You will see how the difficult will become easy. The difficulties will disappear. You will be conquerors in a hostile world around you. You'll see my material blessings over you, in your spouse, in your children. In the world, you will have difficulties, like I had. But don't think of the difficulties. Didn't I promise you that with me you'll overcome them? Your union is a wonderful symbol of your union with me, of the eternal marriage with me. So be faithful to each other, like you are faithful to me. Love each other, because loving each other means loving me. Forgive each other, because this is a symbol of my forgiveness to you. Tolerate each other, like I tolerate you. Husbands, love and guide and give your life for your wives, like I love and guide and I gave my life for my bride. Wives, love and follow your husbands with all your heart, like you, bride, is supposed to follow me, like you, church bride, is supposed to follow me. So you, wives, follow your husbands. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continue in my love. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. End of message. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. I love you, Jesus. End of message. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for this wonderful message. Help us to put it in practice. Dearest brethren, write to us also your comments, so we can hear your comments as well. We love you. We keep in our hearts and in our prayers. Stay in touch with us.